Yo, this is Axl Rose of Guns N' Roses.
Hey, this is Carmen Electra.
Hi, this is Daryl Strawberry.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop D-O-double-G.
Hi, this is Don Sally.
Hey, yo, Hulk Hogan here.
What's up? This is Beyonce. I got a great show lined up for y'all.
Hey, yo, let's get this party started.
The Sports Beat.
You know what? Let's keep it hot.
The Sports Beat
is off the chain, man.
The Sports Beat.
Download the podcast now.
You're listening to The Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge.
Welcome, everybody, to the Wednesday edition of the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live, as you are listening to us on WQEE 99.1 FM The Key. It is the first day of May. We've got a good show for you today. I'm going to recap the NBA playoffs yesterday. The Braves lose again to the Seattle Mariners. And also, my two-a-days, Smith Station and Shaw will be featured. Columbus falls to Mary Persons in the winner-take-all game 3, 10-4, so their season is over. Congratulations to the Columbus Blue Devils on a very successful season getting to the second round of the playoffs. Also, we are going to air part 2 of the Georgia-Alabama Sports Live show that Thrip Barringer and I did on Monday night. Let's go ahead and get into the NBA playoffs as the 76ers survive and they defeat the New York Knicks at Madison Square Garden, 112-106, as the Knicks still hold on to a 3-2 series lead. And now the Cleveland Cavaliers, they take a 3-2 series lead over the Orlando Magic, 104-103, as Evan Mobley interchanneling his LeBron James Game 7 2016 NBA Finals with a huge block with the final seconds to hold off Paolo Banchero. I mean, this was a very good back-and-forth game, and Cleveland gets all the momentum. And then the Milwaukee Bucks, they were down 3-1, and they defeat the Indiana Pacers 115-92. Led by Chris Middleton and Bobby Portis. They're not done yet. Chris Middleton with 29 points. Major League Baseball, the Atlanta Braves, oh boy. They go up to the Pacific Northwest. You know, they lose yesterday by a score of 3-2. They have lost two straight as Luis Castillo throws 7 shutout innings in the defeat. NHL playoffs, you got the Boston Bruins leading the Toronto Maple Leafs 3-2 as the Maple Leafs were able to win 2-1 in overtime. The Carolina Hurricanes advanced to the second round after defeating the New York Islanders 6-3. Colorado advances to the second round, defeating the Winnipeg Jets 6-3. And the Nashville Predators, boy, I tell you, that heartbreaking loss the other night, I mean, imagine if they would have won that game, because they go up to Vancouver and they get the 2-1 victory and they trail 3-2 in the series. All right, it's time for my two-a-days. So every day I talk about two high school teams in the Chattahoochee Valley. I recap the 2023 season. I talk about what's on the horizon for the 2024 season. I wanted to feature the two teams that are going to be featured in the State Line Showdown on WTVM in week 2. And that's Smith Station and Shaw. So when it comes to Smith Station, a 7A school, great fan base, TC Brittenfield Panther Stadium is always packed. But the issue that Smith Station has is they are in a absolutely brutal division when it comes to football, with Central, Opelika, Auburn, Enterprise, Prattville, Dothan. And so the Smith Station Panthers went 1-9 last season and looking to bounce back. Their second year head football coach, Bryant Harrison, tries to get the Smith Station Panthers back on a new level. And I've called Smith Station games on Beam and last year on Georgia Alabama Sports Live. When the lights are bright, they can shine because I was there for the upset win over Prattville. I was there in the opener 2 years ago when they had an early lead on LaGrange. And then last season, they had an early lead on Opelika. This team does have talent, but a lot of players from last year's team, like Quentin Brooks and Brody James, they have graduated. And so new players have to step up. But the Smith Station Panthers upcoming season, this is what it looks like. They will open on August the 23rd. I mean, technically it's week two, but it's really their first game of the season. It's week one. They're taking on Shaw. That game is going to be televised on WTVM. And then in week two, they travel up to Valley to take on the Valley Rams. And then the Backyard Brawl on September the 6th. Carver Montgomery comes into 7A on the 13th of September. And then they travel up to Bulldog Stadium to take on Opelika on September 20th. September 29th, a non-region game against Stanhope Elmore, a 6A school that's in Russell County's division. And then on the 4th of October, they travel to Montgomery to take on Jag. They go up to Auburn to the Duck to take on the Auburn Tigers on October 11th. Back at T.C. Britton Field, Panther Stadium, taking on the Dothan Wolves on October 18th. And then they close out the season taking on the Enterprise Wildcats. All right, let's take a look at Shaw. As Johnny Garner comes in as his second season as the football coach, you know, they're going to lose players like Nicholas Bates and Magic Hickson, Josiah Williams, some good players. I got a chance to broadcast the Shaw games on Georgia Alabama Sports Live. We did the Harris County game, and we also did the Northside game. And the Shaw Raiders, they got a very good fan base and a lot of history. They were a powerhouse in the early 2000s. They are going to have a tough schedule. So on the 16th of August, this is week one, they'll take on Northside at Kinnett Stadium. Week two, they travel up to Smith Station. Week three, on August the 30th, they take on Athens Academy, which is a 2A school out of Athens, Georgia. And then region play starts on the 12th after a bye. The 12th of September, they'll take on the Hardaway Hawks. They will host Sumter County on September 20th, hosting Columbus on September 27th, and then hosting the Carver Tigers on October the 4th. They'll have another bye, and then on October the 18th, they will travel down to Otis Spencer Stadium to take on Kendrick. Back at Otis Spencer Stadium, taking on Spencer, and then on October 31st, taking on the Jordan Red Jackets to close out the season. That is my two-a-days. On tomorrow's show, I will feature Russell County and the Spencer Green Wave. All right, we're going to go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, I'm going to air part two of the Georgia Alabama Sports Live show. It's the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live, and we will be right back.
Now I'm smiling. Look, we were both smiling. We didn't even have to say anything. We're both cheesing when we get back. It's the Georgia Alabama Sports Live show presented by Glenn Smith Chevrolet and GMC. I said this on Sports Visions, Richard. I said, Terry Fontenot thinks he's smarter than everyone else. Now, DJ thinks it's speculation. We don't know for sure, but we talked to Sam Crenshaw of 92.9 The Game, someone that's up there in Atlanta, knows people within the organization. He's saying that people are confirming Arthur Blank didn't know. Kirk Cousins didn't know. Not many people did. Now, here's my thought on this. If you're going to make a move for this, you must think one of two things. Either you know you're about to get in trouble with tampering and you feel like you can't get a quarterback here in the next couple of years, which I found that hard to believe because there were six taken this year. What was it? Five, four, five last year. Every year you can take six quarterbacks. You can find six guys. I find it hard to believe. Now, if you think Michael Penix at 24 years old after two knee surgeries is that guy that you can rely on and sit after 2 years, he's the type of guy with the mental fortitude that can sit behind Kirk Cousins, not start automatically, and then come in and be a formidable quarterback, okay. But you're taking a huge risk. You failed with Desmond Ridder. You failed with Arthur Smith. Kyle Pitts is not panning out the way you wanted him to. Drake London needs to have more touches. Bijan Robinson was good last year, but not Ezekiel Elliott, Adrian Peterson, rookie of the year, good. So, yes, he's gotten talent. Yes, there's talent on this team. And, yes, Kirk Cousins getting him now is a win-now mode. If you're in win-now mode, why not get Dallas Turner? Trade up and get lose all your draft picks. If you think you're going to be fired anyway and you want to go out with a bang, draft Dallas Turner, trade back up, get Michael Penix. Trade your first-round picks the next couple of years because you're trying to win now. And if you really believe in Michael Penix, I am baffled by this. And it's one of those things where I think Terry is trying to go out, so outside of the box so he can make up for some of his blunders that he's like, if I'm hit on this, I'm a genius. But the flip side to that coin, when you take a risk, is that you can look like a bonehead. I'm leaning towards the bonehead. I've told DJ, I am not optimistic. He did tell me, he's like, listen, if you're going to go out, why not go out with a bang? You feel like you're going to get fired anyway? Draft the guy you wanted to draft. I get that. I just don't think that's the guy the Falcons needed. And it's hard for you to convince me otherwise. I hear the notion, let him sit 2 years. He'll be a great quarterback. But you can do that with a lot of guys, Richard. You got Kirk Cousins for 4 years. In the first season, can we at least see, Richard? This year, let's say Kirk was 9-8, 10-7, you know, 25 touchdowns, 14 interception. He's okay, but obviously he's not someone that's going to lead us to the promised land. Then go out and get someone that can learn under him. But we don't know what we got yet. So, Richard, please talk me off of this. You think it's a good pick? Because I do not. And I'm wondering what Terry Fontenot is doing. And how he had the unmitigated gall. I'm going to pull that out from Stephen A. Smith. The unmitigated gall to pull a fast one on Arthur Blank. And then you didn't get Bill Belichick. Belichick had Penix like 37th on his big board. I know he ain't been the greatest draft picker either, but my goodness, man. That just help me make sense of it, please.
I've had a couple days to think about this.
Me too.
In the beginning, when they made the pick, I was throwing my arms up like, you've got to be kidding me. They completely messed this up. But then I started listening to sports talk radio like I always do. And, you know, a lot of personalities have their opinion on this. And I started thinking and I realized how bad Desmond Ridder was as a quarterback last year. I mean, he single-handedly cost the Falcons 4 games, maybe more. He was absolutely terrible. And that was really
the worst quarterback in the history of the Falcons. One of the worst.
Yeah, absolutely. The Falcons had a very good team last year and it was a winnable division. And Desmond Ridder cost him Arthur Smith's job. And I think that the GM, Terry Fontenot, is self-correcting a little too much. Kirk Cousins is going to come off of an ACL injury. He might not be ready for OTAs. He might not even be ready for training camp. I think that the GM for the Falcons is trying to say, you know what? Having a backup quarterback might not be the worst idea in the world, especially if Kirk Cousins is injury prone and now we have a backup quarterback. But the problem with that is he's 24 years old. When is he going to be the future of your franchise when you've given Kirk Cousins all this money? What is he going to start for the Falcons when he's 30? I don't get it either, but I'm trying to make some sense of it. Yeah, and
you know what?
I don't know.
Richard, remember when they signed the Seattle Seahawks signed Matt Flynn? Okay, remember Matt Flynn threw 6 touchdowns in that final game against Detroit. The Packers were 14-1. The game didn't matter, and he goes out and signs with the Seahawks. And then they drafted Russell Wilson in the 4th round, and they signed Flynn to all this money. He never started a game for them. This would be 300 times worse. Here's
no question.
For one, you're signing Kirk Cousins to way more money. Kirk Cousins is way more developed and proven than Matt Flynn was. But they drafted Wilson in the 4th round. You drafted Penix, number 8 overall. And usually when you're a first-round draft pick like that, especially in the top 10, you're going to start now. history tells us stuff like this doesn't pan out. I know Aaron Rodgers, but they're an anomaly. You name me one, Richard, in which they went and signed or had a legitimate guy for the next four seasons and drafted him, and the guy sitting behind them panned out. Jordan, the guy that's starting for them now, I can't even think of his name.
Not Jordan Love.
Jordan Love. He actually turned out pretty good. The Packers seem like they're the only organization that has had that happen. When they're drafting a guy to literally sit behind their starter that's an all-pro or a really good player, I don't remember him. Like, I'm not talking about Ben Roethlisberger getting drafted when they had Tommy Maddox. Tommy Maddox was not dadgum Aaron Rodgers or Brett Favre or Kirk Cousins. Okay, you tell me. Maybe there is a time. But I feel like very few and far between this happens and pans out the way organizations want it to. And here's the thing. If, let's say, Terry and the Falcons don't win, the new GM coming in, that's not his guy. So now you got money to Kirk Cousins, a quarterback the new GM doesn't want. If I'm Arthur Blank, I am in an uproar, and I'm telling Terry, it's playoffs or you're gone. In a discussion, playoffs or you're gone. I'm putting him on the hot seat. I will hot take it up. That is trash. Trash. Richard, are you kidding me? And then you got Alex Anthopoulos doing circles around GMs and baseball. And then you got the Hawks and the dadgum Falcon. The Falcons, excuse me. I shake my head in disgust. I'm off my soapbox. Anything else you want to add, Richard?
No, it seems that the Braves are the only team in the Atlanta area that has figured it out. I mean, with what general manager Alex Anthopoulos has done.
And even with them saying they figured it out and they've been a great organization, they've only got two World Series in the last 30 years, and they've had the best record in baseball between 7 to 10 of those times, and they only got two World Series. It is something about this town. I know we make fun of Detroit. Detroit is the worst of the worst when it comes to bad luck. Cleveland, obviously. But Atlanta's up there, man. And if it was not for the Braves, you would look at this Atlanta City saying, that's where your fanship goes to die. 28-3? Are you kidding me? Michael Vick in his prime going to jail? Are you kidding me? All those Braves teams, 14 straight divisions, one championship? Are you kidding me? The Hawks finally get LeBron James without Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving. You got 60 wins. Everyone's saying it's going to be y'all in Golden State. And what happened, Richard? You get not only beat, you get swept in 2015.
Yeah, it's just
Trey Young went to the conference finals.
Stepped on the ref's ankle.
We almost beat Philly. If we didn't get injured, if Trey didn't get injured, they may have made the finals. They're like, whoa, this team's got a bunch of 30 and 25 and 23-year-olds. This team's going to be one of the best teams in the East. They were the number 10 seed this year, Richard.
Yeah, it just goes to show that you need another superstar. I know that there's rumblings that the Phoenix Suns might blow it up. You better go get Kevin Durant. You better trade every piece you could possibly think of.
Heck, would Kevin Durant want to come here? I agree. I would love that. But if Kevin Durant, other than he is just a lunatic that feels like if I go to Atlanta, win a championship Atlanta, they would consider that probably the greatest championship in NBA history. To win in Atlanta, are you kidding me? But come on. The reality of that happening, are you serious?
Well, he's formed two super teams, and it's been a disaster. Brooklyn and Phoenix.
I'm glad you did that, Richard, because we're going to go ahead and transition. The Phoenix Suns. Excuse my language, got their ass beat. They got smoked. And I apologize for the language, but I felt like I couldn't go G on it, Richard. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know.
Couldn't go PG. It's okay. What I saw from a team that's got a guy that's getting paid $50 million. Booker, $50 million. Durant, $50 million. A team that had, I know Grayson Allen was hurt, but you couldn't win one game against the Timberwolves who hadn't won a playoff series since 2004.
I remember that team.
I do too. And they went all the way to the conference finals and lost to the Lakers super team with Karl Malone, Gary Payton, Shaq, and Kobe. But And by the way, beat your Kings in that semifinal in which Chris Webber gets hurt. He doesn't get hurt. The Kings may win a championship that year. We won't go there and bring up those memories. I'm sorry that I just did that to you. But the Suns, disappointment. And I'm with you, Richard. What do you do? I listen to Bill Simmons and Ron Russillo, guys that I really respect that cover the game of basketball. I feel like you got to trade Durant, right? You got to trade something. You're going to bring all this back over the luxury cap. You just got swept. Obviously, the team presently constructed is not winning. You're dang sure if you can't beat the Timberwolves, you're not even close to the Nuggets. What do you do if you're the Suns? I think you trade everyone away, and but the problem is you're going to be trying to get draft picks back that you already traded. So you're really behind the eight ball. Matt Ishbia, who came in as that new owner syndrome, trade, give me Bradley Beal, give me Kevin Durant, and now you're sitting home. After you just got swept, and Anthony Davis literally stole your girlfriend, ate your food, and then spit it back in your face. That's how disrespectful they were this playoffs, Richard. He bullied and manhandled a 24-year-old manhandled grown men on the Suns.
Thrift, I'm going to say this, that there is a new era in basketball that is passing the torch with LeBron 39, Steph Curry is way past his prime, Kevin Durant getting swept once again.
I wouldn't say that for Steph. I feel like Steph's fine.
Well, no, I'm just saying we have got some fresh talent that are superstars. Ant-Man in Minnesota, Jalen Brunson with the Knicks, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander for Oklahoma City. I mean, we got some superstars that are coming up. And this is the future of the NBA. I mean, we thought it was with Zion Williamson. I mean, he's good, but he hasn't really been the superstar we all thought he was going to be. But I watched Anthony Edwards. This guy is going to be the next great player in the NBA.
And it pains me to say it. He reminds me a lot of Kobe. And there hasn't been a player like that. And people were like, Devin Booker, the next Kobe Bryant, please. Bradley Beal, Kobe Bryant. Please. No. Nobody. Anthony Edwards? Frobe? Number 8? Was Shaq? Was doing what Anthony Edwards was doing. That is, man. I'm not going to go as far as say Michael, and I'm not saying he'll ever be as good as Kobe Bryant was, but he reminds me a lot of him, and he's the first player I could say that about. Now, it's different because when you grow up, Richard, and you idolize someone and you find that athlete that's yours, it's hard to put another athlete in that similar plateau. And I'm never going to do that with anyone. No, I don't care who it is. But if you ask me right now who's someone I thoroughly enjoy watching, it's Anthony Edwards. I like that he talks trash. I like how he reminds me of me. He is passionate. It reminds how I like to play my game. I'm not saying I'm Anthony Edwards by no means. I'm talking about just the passion, the energy, the competitiveness, the fire that burns him. That reminds me a lot of Kobe. And a lot of these young guys don't have that in them. That's why he is different. And I hate that. I think they're the second best team in the Western Conference right now. I really do. But problem is they got to play the best team in the semifinals. It really should be Nuggets, Timberwolves, and the conference finals. I think this Timberwolves team would handle the Thunder. As good as the Thunder are and the Young Guns, Gobert, Naz Reid, Towns, too much size, they would out-rebound them. They would bully them. I would take Timberwolves over them, but they're going to have to face the Nuggets. Great win for the Timberwolves. On the Eastern Conference, and we'll go back to the West Conference in a minute. I want to do Eastern Conference real quick because I think it's really cut and dry. Bucks are done. I wouldn't even try to bring Brett Lillard or Giannis. Why rush him back? They're not going to come back from that series. So I got Pacers. The Knicks took the soul from Embiid. And I'm going to say this, valiant effort from him. The guy should not be playing right now and is putting up 30 and 20. I don't think that would last for four rounds, but credit to him for trying. Knicks, Pacers, and I'm going to go Cleveland and I'm still going to pick Cleveland, and I'm obviously Boston. I think it's Boston Knicks right now. As talented as the Pacers are, I just like the Knicks. I think it's cut and dry. I think those two teams are going to be facing off. What about you, Richard? You picking a Pacers upset? Do you think they can get hot? They don't have Mathurin, but they still got Siakam. They got Halliburton. They got Turner. They got a lot of guys come off the bench. Nimard, Neesmith. I like this Pacers team, and I would like them a lot more if they had Mathurin. I just feel like the Knicks are going to play a sluggish, bully-type basketball. And right now, the way it is at the Garden, they're on fire. They're traveling to Philly to see their Knicks. That's why I think New York's going to win.
Look, I like the Pacers team, too. I think that Tyrese Halliburton is one of the most underrated point guards in the NBA. Pascal Siakam, we knew that he was going to be a superstar. He won a ring with Toronto in 2019. Yeah, they are hurting not having Benedict Mathurin. But I think if they do face the Knicks in the second round, I think the Knicks are going to take care of business because Jalen Brunson is playing like an MVP, top five player in the NBA. I think the addition of OG Anunoby from the RJ Barrett trade from Toronto, he has really been a good two-way player. Josh Hart, another one of those Villanova players, has been doing good. And, you know, the Knicks are playing really with house money. Once Julius Randle got the injury, you know, a lot of Knicks fans were like, well, they can't win a championship now.
Go ahead.
No, I think it's going to set up for the Knicks and the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals, which would be huge for ratings in the NBA.
I agree. Definitely huge for the ratings, but I'm going Ewing theory. I think the Knicks actually play better without maybe Randle, especially offensively. Dump it down to him.
Are you referring back to the 99 NBA Finals, Thrift?
I most definitely am, and I think Julius Randle, who was playing really good this year, I think this team with Anunoby, as you talked about, the way Mitchell Robinson has been playing, Dante DiVincenzo, Miles McBride. I was like, who the heck is this McBride guy? He's giving up there, giving him buckets. Fast as all lightning. Every decision he makes seems like it's a good decision off the bench. I like this Knicks team. So it's Knicks, Celtics.
Thrift, let me ask you something. Tell me you wouldn't want to play for Tom Thibodeau.
Look,
I know that Tom Thibodeau coached teams. They play hard in the regular season. He does wear them down, but this is a different team. This feels very special that the Knicks, I don't think they're getting worn down. I think
you know what it feels like? It feels like New York. Tough nose, bully, 90s basketball with Larry Johnson. And you made mention Patrick Ewing, those scenes that made it NBA Finals. It reminds me a lot. And the Knicks have been craving this for almost 30 years.
Well, they spent the entire 2000s. They were a joke. I'm just going to come out and say it. When Isaiah Thomas ran that franchise into the ground, James Dolan, just a terrible owner. You know, he's got the right pieces in there, but you remember the days where they had like five shooting guards. They had Quentin Richardson. They had Steve Francis. They had Jamal Crawford. I mean, what were they doing? It was like they were just put together with duct tape. I mean, they were just trying to figure it as they go, and they were just a laughing stock of a franchise.
No, they're not. All right. I know the Lakers won game four. They've been playing good basketball. I don't care what anyone says. The Nuggets are just that much better. There's about four or five teams that I say are one of the best teams in basketball the last 20 years. The Lakers in 2001 that went 16-1 in the playoffs. The 2013 Miami team to an extent. I know they struggled though in the playoffs, but they were good. 2014 Spurs and then the 2017 Warriors. Those teams I put up against anyone. This Nuggets team is one of those teams now. Even when you play your best and they're not playing theirs, they are still winning games.
Yeah.
Jokic, best player in basketball. He's about to win his third MVP, and it's going to be Nuggets versus Mavericks Clippers winner, because I'm still not a believer in the Thunder. So either way, I think it's Nuggets Celtics. I don't want anything else other than those two teams. They're the best two teams. I'd love to see that matchup. Jokic against the high-flying Celtics. I love Denver to beat Boston. Many people think Denver is a prohibitive favorite right now because of how talented they are. I still think that Nuggets Celtics pick that I had, Richard, and I think you had the same thing.
Yeah, I did.
I think that's going to pan out really well. All right, we got about 9 minutes before we have on our next guest, and I'm going to revert and bring it back around, because we were talking NBA, in which, again, the Suns, poop. Pelicans without Zion just don't pan out. We'll see how all these teams do in the offseason. The Lakers obviously have a lot of questions. What do they do? Do they trade LeBron? Do they trade Davis? Do they get out of this? They don't have a lot of draft capital, because right now they can't win a championship with a team they got, and they got a good team. They got a good team. That's got to be the hardest pill to swallow if you're a Lakers fan, and I know it is for most people that bleed purple and gold. Let's circle back around to the original rant, which was the Falcons. Richard, throw up the graphic of the draft picks for the Falcons. Michael Penix, Ruke Okoro from Clemson, Braylon Washington, Brandon Dorius from Oregon, J.D. Bertrand from Notre Dame, Trace McClellan, who I thought was a formidable running back and not a bad pick in the sixth round, from Alabama, K.C. Washington from Illinois, receiver, and Zion Logue from Georgia, the defensive tackle. Richard, if you were to give a rating or grade, I'm going to put your teacher hat on. No, you're not a teacher, but you basically are a teacher for your kids. Give this a grade right now.
D plus.
That's it?
I'm sorry. Look, I know that the general manager trying to self-correct with the next four picks being all defensive players. We don't know if any of these players could play. We don't know if they can make the roster. I don't know if Jason McClellan could be the third string running back for the Falcons, because you got Bijan Robinson and Tyler Algier. Is Casey Washington going to make this team? I mean, I like how they picked the defensive tackle from Georgia, but, you know, is Rook going to pan out and be a starter? I mean, when you get to the second and third rounds, you're trying to draft starters, and we have no idea.
Tampa Bay, this is according to NFL.com. Okay, I'm just going to use the NFL.com as an example. Tampa Bay, B+. Okay, day one grade, A. Day two, B. And then day three, which is rounds 4 through 7, which, again, if you miss on those, it doesn't hurt as much than it does, you know, 1 through 3 rounds. B+. And if you just count the first 2 days, almost an A. New Orleans, A-. A-, Richard. And looking at it, A-, A- on days 1 and 2, and a B on day 3. Again, day 3 I don't put as much stock into. And let's go to the Carolina Panthers. So that's two teams that you're vying for. Remember, this division is up for grabs. I don't care if you went and got Kirk Cousins or not. It's still up for grabs right now. Carolina, B. They had a C for day one grade. They only had the 32nd pick, which was, because remember, they traded up for Bryce Young last year. So Xavier Leggett didn't believe in them. But A on day two, the Falcons, C+. Day one grade C, day two grade C, and day three B. So their best one is the 4th through 6, which you hope to get 4th through 7th round one that works out.
I might have been a little harsh on them, but
I'm going to say they were a little light on them. I'd go D plus D round there.
Okay, so we're on the same page.
And it's not that the talent. I don't think Michael Penix is a bad pick. But if you look at Rook Okoro, I mean, again, and I think sometimes these GMs, they try to overthink themselves, Richard. I really do. And I think he's trying to overthink and trying to get guys that no one talked about so he can look like a genius. And I don't want a GM like that. Don't make it hard on yourself. I just don't understand. Fontenot, your old team, smacked you in the NFL draft when it comes to rankings. Richard, give me some of the teams you thought that won. I think Minnesota won. I think Minnesota getting Dallas Turner, McCarthy. They already got Addison. They already got Justin Jefferson. I think Minnesota won. Now, I don't think McCarthy's a great quarterback, but if you look at him compared to Kirk Cousins, Kirk Cousins was not as good as J.J. was back at Michigan State. He turned out pretty good in the NFL. If he can be another Kirk Cousins, I think Minnesota won.
Thrift, I have a couple of teams that won this draft. Obviously, we got to start with the top. The Chicago Bears getting Caleb Williams. They are comparing Caleb Williams to Patrick Mahomes. Now, look, the Bears have not had a 4,000-yard passer in the history of their franchise.
It's a joke.
But Caleb Williams is a superstar. I mean, he's already got the swagger and, you know, coming into Chicago and trying to sell the Chicago fan base. Getting Rome Odunze as his – as, you know, he's getting weapons. He's got Cole Kmet. He's got Rome Odunze. He's got Keenan Allen. So he's got some weapons. And the other team, the Arizona Cardinals. You got Kyler Murray. Go get the best wide receiver in the draft. They get Marvin Harrison Jr. They get Darius Robinson in the first round, the edge rusher from Missouri. I think Trey Benson, the running back, I mean, he could end up being a starter. And so I think the Cardinals had a pretty good draft. And I think that the Bears had a pretty good draft. And we always say, you know, the teams with multiple picks in the first round have had pretty decent drafts. I actually like the Raiders getting Brock Bowers. I think that the Raiders with Devontae Adams and Brock Bowers, are you kidding me? It doesn't really matter who the quarterback is. Aiden O'Connell throwing to either Devontae Adams or Brock Bowers. I mean, that's going to be a scary offense because I think Brock Bowers could be a Pro Bowl tight end year one in his first year in the league.
I think Houston Texans, their organization won. They traded out of the 23rd pick. They get some draft capital. They get Kamari Lassiter, who's an excellent DB. You get a really good offensive tackle, Blake Fisher from Notre Dame. I think they had an excellent draft. Indianapolis and Ballard, I think the GM Ballard, I think he's one of the best GMs in football. He just can't get the quarterback position right. But Richardson looked pretty good last year, Richard. So Indianapolis has a lot of talent. I think they're going to be fine. Jacksonville, Brian Thomas, Mason Smith, they got so much talent, and they've been good at drafting. Do you believe in Trevor Lawrence being that guy? That's a huge question. Kansas City getting Xavier Worthy.
Are you kidding me? They pretty much got Tyreek Hill without the contract.
Home run pick. Let Kadarius Toney out of here. Say, dude, you had the potential to be Tyreek and you end up being Reek. So you're out. You reek on the football field. He's gone, Richard. And now you've got Xavier Worthy, who I agree, the speed is there. And Patrick Mahomes makes anybody look good. He's like Manning. He's like Brady. He's like Rodgers. These dudes make other receivers great. So, no, I don't think any receiver that Kansas City picked was never going to bust out. And getting Worthy, are you kidding me? I think that is a home run pick. I think out of the quarterbacks, I think Williams pans out. I know a lot of people are tough on him the way he is, but I really do think his talent pans out in Chicago. I think Daniels has the better rookie season, Jaden Daniels, and Washington has a good season. But I think he reminds me a lot of RG3, man. He's skinny and injuries. I know he's not had a lot of them in his career, but NFL is a whole different ballgame, even from the SEC and how big they are and physical they are, Richard. I'm not a believer in Daniels. I don't know what to think about May because all I can think about is Mitch Trubisky, Sam Howell. I mean, do you want me to keep going, Richard? They've had a lot of great quarterbacks in the last few years, and none of them have panned out. So I want to believe in May, but I don't know if I believe in the Patriots organization. So we'll see. A lot of Patriots fans are high on it. I do think Marvin Harrison going with Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals, I think that's awesome. But I think definitely my pick is Xavier Worthy to Kansas City because now you're getting speed with Kelce, who they just re-signed, by the way, Richard. Kansas City looking to win 3 straight championships. You can go ahead and take that graphic off, Richard. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back from break, we're going to have our guy on. He has literally been there, here, over at yonder, back, way in the back. Now he's back at WRBL. 4 different places. Jack's literally got a clone. And we're going to talk to one of his clones next here on Georgia Alabama Sports Live.
You're watching right now the Georgia Alabama Sports Live show that is presented by Glenn Smith Chevrolet and GMC. Get ready to smile. We'll be right back after this.
Here are three great Chevrolet offers from Glenn Smith in Opelika. Check out the powerful, full-size, and fully loaded Chevrolet Silverado High Country, discounted up to $13,000 off. Or the roomy midsize three-row SUV, the Chevy Traverse, discounted up to $8,000 off. And the perfect-size Chevy Equinox, up to $7,500 off. No payments until summertime. Over 300 new and used vehicles on the lot or on the way. Get ready to smile.
Richard's always smiling. I'm telling you, I'm going to have...
Got to cue up the smile.
I'm going to have Glenn Smith. I'm for sure going to have them pay you just to have your face planted with that smile for everyone to see the first thing they see when they walk in. They're going to be like, God! And it's going to say, Richie Rich here from Glenn Smith Chevrolet and GMC.
Well, speaking of somebody who always smiles.
There's never a time he's not smiling. He's always brightens our day on the Sports History Radio Show. I literally just talked to him a couple hours ago. And he was at Pacelli. Then he went to Central. Let's go ahead and bring him on. He is he's the guy. He's the man. He's the myth. He's the legend. It's Jack Patterson. Should have played some John Cena intro music for you, JP.
I was just trying to see how long I could hold that cheese. That
I thought cool. You were too. How good, man. And how has your afternoon been, my man?
It is how my afternoons will be for the foreseeable future. Chaos. Been a busy man. All right.
Yeah.
Was over at Pacelli. Had their signing day. Once, like I mentioned on Sports Visions earlier today, always one of the best things that I get to cover is to see people's dreams come true. So, so awesome to be a part of that today. Seven kids signed to play at the next level. That was awesome. And then headed over to Central, and this is a story we have not talked about. The Central softball team, they won the area title today. They beat Auburn 5-1 to win the area title. Those girls have won 40 straight games. They have not lost since February. 44-3 on the season so far.
That's how good. And by the way, their baseball team's pretty good too, Jack.
And, oh, yeah.
And you and again, credit to you. Credit to Tyler. I mean, you have been ripping and running. Love watching the Highlight Factory. It's Jack Patterson. He's always brings a smile. Love our conversation. You're always my guy. I'm having you on right now because I really wanted this to be the hot take center, but then I don't want to ruffle feathers. And you know how Beyonce's got her beehive and you got the Swifties. Well, you got the River Dragon Knights, if you will, and they unite around the Columbus River Dragons. But, man, that is a tough pill to swallow, what just happened. And we talked about on Sports Visions, yeah, it was a great game. I watched it. I know you were there, Jack. The same thing happened on Saturday. But it's tough, man. You not only lose after having an historic season, you lose to your rival of all teams. Talk about that as a fan, and then just someone that was in the Civic Center. What was the overall reaction to a lot of the fans, man?
It's a bitter pill to swallow, to say the very least. There's not a person who didn't want to win. You know, I've talked to a few people within the organization since the game last night, and you know, it's tough, okay? Because it's tough on multiple levels, okay? Because first things first is the goal of this team is and always is to win the Commissioner's Cup. That's the goal. And then secondly, you know, we went into this season knowing that this could be some of the core players' final season. And then, you know, so when you have that playing a role too, and then you go on the run that this team went on, the best statistical season in Columbus hockey history.
Unreal.
Okay. So when you have all that going for you, you want to finish it off the right way. But one of my favorite hockey announcers, John Forslund, he used to be the Hurricanes play-by-play. Now he calls the Seattle Kraken. He has a saying, and last night was the epitome of it. And it's really simple. That's hockey, baby. Because few other sports can you have – it's a three-game series, okay? So – yeah, the River Dragons took the first game, and great, fantastic, okay? But in that second game, you know, OT, and playoff hockey in overtime is different from any other sport. Okay. It's different than football. It's different than baseball and extra innings. It's different than basketball overtime. It is completely different because you're already gassed at the end of 60 minutes and now you're just playing. And this game, you don't know when this game is going to end. And yeah, that might be the same in the other three big three sports, but none of those three are as taxing or as demanding as going out there for multiple shifts on the ice. And at that point, when Carolina scored the game winner Sunday night in double overtime, that was the 85th minute of hockey played that night. Okay. And then when you add in the previous night when they played in OT, let's see, that game ended with 5 minutes left in OT. So that's another 75 minutes. And then you add on the previous night in Carolina where they played 60 minutes. And then both teams drove from Winston-Salem back to Columbus overnight. Like, that's a lot.
It is.
And I, like, trust me, you know, you guys know, just as much as I cover these teams, I'm fans of these teams, okay? And it sucks to see the Dragons go down that way. But, man, I saw those guys, and they literally left everything on the ice. Some guys left it all, okay? Because they knew that might be their last game. They left everything out there. I saw guys diving the block pucks, diving the interrupt passes. Like the effort shown by both teams, by the River Dragons and the Thunderbirds, the effort shown by both teams was out of this world. And it sucks that somebody had to lose that game, okay? And, you know, it obviously sucks for us that the Dragons are the ones who lost. You know, I don't knock them because they played fantastic. It was just a tough game. Mario Cavallari, the Carolina goaltender, played on his head Saturday and Sunday, okay?
Yep.
He was fantastic. And sometimes when you've got a hot keeper, and, you know, Cavallari, he was coming off of playing of a not great stretch to end the season, but he was the FPHL goaltender of the year for a reason. He was phenomenal the first two-thirds of the season before he got called up to the SPHL. So, once again, he was fantastic. He was a tough goaltender to beat. We got a lot of talented guys on our team, and there was a lot of times where that puck almost went in and we'd be having a different conversation right now. But sometimes that's just the way the puck bounces, okay? And, you know, anybody that was in that arena on Sunday night will tell you that, you know, the guys left there on the ice. You know, you asked me on Sports Visions what was the emotions like, and I didn't get a chance to get to it because I was, you know, covering Pacelli. But the emotions after the game, it was heartbreak. Like, you know, you see the, you know, they, one of my favorite things about hockey is regardless, win, lose, regardless of how hatred the rivalry is, they shake hands at the end. And that's one of my favorite traditions in all of sports is that no matter, you know, you literally are beating the living daylights out of each other, you know, for however many games. And then at the end, you got enough respect to come and shake hands at the end. One of my favorite traditions. But afterwards, you know, it was almost like the team was in a state of shock because this wasn't supposed to end this way. And, you know, there were players, you know, that was, you know, in the bench, you know, hugs all around, you know, the crowd didn't leave. The crowd was there chanting for the players because, you know, there's some players that we knew probably weren't coming back. You know, the rumors about Josh Pietrantonio potentially retiring, the rumors about Austin Doe potentially retiring, it's those things that, you know, when you talk about a guy like Petro, who has been a face of this franchise from day one, you know, you're talking about Doe, who was been a face of this franchise essentially since, I think he was a second year guy that he joined us. And when you talk about those guys, you talk about, you know,
McDonald.
But yeah, Justin McDonald, even though I don't know if he's, I think he may be back. So I, once again, don't quote me on this, but I just, you know, these are the ones that I do know is that, you know, when you talk about these guys who have integrated themselves within our community, you know, and become fan favorites, and these people loved him, okay? I don't know if you guys are on the River Dragons fan page, but, you know, the outpouring of support for these guys and the outpouring of support for those guys last night, you know, the fans chanting their names and, you know, chanting, you know, one more year, you know. You know, people love these guys and they love the passion and the way they play the game. And I think, and I said it last night and I'll say it again, it's moments like last night after that game, even in defeat, that makes this city the hockey town of the South. Because to see all the love that was showered on those guys, even in defeat, man, it speaks volumes.
Well, Jack, I do think the real winners are the sports fans of Columbus. I mean, what we witnessed Saturday night and Sunday night, edge of your seat, two most exciting hockey games that Columbus had. First of all, what was going through everybody's mind on Saturday night? Columbus is up 2-1, a minute 20 left to go. Carolina pulls the goalie to go 6-on-5. I know that had to have been absolutely deflating for Carolina to get that game-tying goal to send it to overtime. They ended up winning it in overtime. It's hard to come back from a heartbreaking loss like that, Jack, but I was very impressed with what Columbus did on Sunday, taking the 1-0 lead into the third. Carolina does get the game-tying goal. By the way, the two game-tying goals were coming off of players that scored their first postseason goal. I mean, so it's a lot of luck in this. I mean, the puck just bounced Carolina's way. I mean, when you get it to overtime, it's really 50-50. Both teams are gassed, and, you know, there was like, I counted at least 20 times that Columbus could have put the game away and could have won it. But how exciting was that for the fans? I know it was heartbreaking, but how exciting was it for Saturday night and Sunday night at the Columbus Civic Center?
The atmospheres were amazing, Richard. Like, the crowd was into it, and it was fantastic hockey, you know? It was two phenomenal hockey games, okay? You know, Sunday night's game, even in defeat, is going to go down as one of the better games played in Columbus hockey history, just because of the way both teams played. The first period was just strictly defense. There was less than 10 shots combined on goal in the first period. And then the second period, you know, teams started to figure each other out. And then the third period, you know, is really, that's when you felt the, you know, the importance rise and the intensity levels rose. And, you know, the hits were just a little bit harder. And the, you know, the intensity that the players played with, you could tell. And, you know, by the time we hit that first overtime, the tension was in the air. It's one of those things where you could feel the tension. You could, you know, the saying goes, you could cut the tension with a knife. It was one of those situations. I like to call it a tension convention, okay? Because, you know, everybody's stressed out because they know that next goal wins. And it could be the different, you know, depending on which way the puck bounces, it could be the determination of whether, hey, you're going on to the finals and, hey, you're done. And, you know, it was fantastic hockey. And, you know, I'm thankful that I was there to witness it. You know, I hate that of the way it turned out for the Dragons, because I honestly think that this team deserved a championship. But, you know, once again, sometimes it be like that. And at the end of the day, man, you know, I can say this, that the River Dragons they have nothing to hang their heads about, because they left everything on the ice. There was no halfway effort or anything like that. They left everything on the ice, and that's all you can ask for.
Well, I'll tell you this. Everyone couldn't breathe. And you know that feeling when, I'll just go back to maybe when you were in college and you're messing around and there's an assignment due at 11:59 on Sunday night and you haven't been thinking about it, and then all of a sudden at about 11:45, you wake up like, oh my God, I got to turn this in. And you're about to have anxieties. Like, I'm about to fail this test. This whole quarter's about to be done. That feeling is, I know, every feeling for every River Dragons fan in the arena, especially on Sunday, knowing that at any moment this game could be done. It's not like, hey, they're going to play the whole overtime series. It's first puck in the goal wins. I can only imagine. I was nervous watching it. All right, let's talk a little bit positive note before we get out of here, Jack. The Lions go on the road, and as a play-by-play announcer, I just want to let you know, Jack, and if you don't know, but I think you do, they're undefeated, man. They're 4-0. They beat Harrisburg, who I thought we had a valiant effort. They beat them 42-34. It was 75-19 last time these two teams faced off. Now, Lions are dealing with the injury bug a little bit, but Marcus Brooks still doing Marcus Brooks things. Really proud of what Damien Daniels has created there. They could be our team that wins a championship, hopefully in the near future, when the playoffs start in June.
Absolutely. And, you know, the thing about it is that, you know, they did get bit by the injury bug, but you got a little bit of time to heal up now. You know, you get the win by any means necessary against Harrisburg on the road. It's always hard to win road games in arena football, but you get the job done. And now you get to come back home, heal up a little bit, get ready for this, you know, stretch run where you got a couple more games at home. And then, of course, that big time showdown coming up, the last game of the regular season against Corpus Christi. You know, that's going to tell us a lot about the way this season is going to go. But right now, if you're Damien Daniels year one at the helm, you have to be happy with where you are right now, knowing that there's more work to be done, but you got to be happy with where you are right now.
No doubt about it. And I'm excited. Coming up May 25th, me and Richard will be on the call for that one. Jack, what do you got planned for the rest of the week? I know we're going to see you Wednesday for that Glenwood game. Thursday, we got CV. We'll throw the graphic up in a little bit what we got for the rest of the week. But WRBL, what are we doing? What we got? Where we going?
I got to say this. You won't see me Wednesday, okay? You'll see either Tyler or Kevin, but you won't see me. Because that's my birthday and I'm taking it off, okay?
Jack, get out of here.
Oh, happy birthday. You're
going to take it off and happy daggum birthday. 31 or 32?
32. So don't remind me how old I'm getting. But we're going to be busy. That's actually what I'm getting ready to get into as soon as I get off with you guys is, you know, in addition to building my show for 11 o'clock, I've got to build a schedule because of all the stuff we have going on right now this week. I mean, it's crazy what we have going on. You got Calvary softball playing for a state championship tomorrow. You've got so many teams that are going to be in action. You know, Central baseball at the end of the week. You got Calvary baseball at the end of the week. You got Glenwood baseball at the end of the week. You know,
Brooks Umbertelli.
Yeah, exactly. So many teams are going to be in action. If you know anybody with a cloning machine, that'd be nice if you could pass me along.
I'm always talking to one of the clones. This is Jack Patterson, number 3. 1 and 2 are out doing some other magic.
No, this is the one and only.
That's why we love you, Jack. WRBL's Jack Patterson. Where can they find you on Twitter? And what time can they see the highlights of all the signings and everything that's happened today in the wonderful world of sports around our area?
Well, the beautiful thing about me joining Georgia Alabama Sports Live is that you can see my Twitter handle right down there, right below my name.
Look at that, man.
Is that Jay Patterson TV? And then you can follow me on Twitter. I mean, follow the News 3 Sports team on Twitter. That's at WRBL Sports. And then we're on Facebook as well, WRBL News 3 Sports. And then we're on air tonight at 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 Central with the News 3 Night Watch. We've got highlights of Columbus on the road at Mary Persons. We got highlights of Auburn Central for the Area 4-7A Softball Championship and an interview with the winning coach. So you don't want to miss that. And we'll have all the Pacelli signings as well. Busy, busy day. We'll have a few score updates as well. Columbus High Soccer in action as well. So once again, busy day. We're going to try to be on top of as much of it as we can.
No doubt about it. And by the way, Mary Persons just beat Columbus in game 2. So we got a game 3. Columbus keeps on trucking. JP, have a good rest of your night, man. Talk to you later.
Appreciate it, fellas.
Jack Patterson of WRBL. All right, Richard, get Jack out of here. Throw up the graphic of what we're doing this week so we can get out of here. It's been a long show. Thanks again.
Griff, I do want to say something. Columbus did defeat Mary Persons 1-0 in game 2. Mary Persons took game 1. Tomorrow, there will be a winner-take-all game 3 between Columbus and Mary Persons. And by the way, if Columbus wins, they are hosting an Elite 8 game next week because the number 3 seed and the number 4 seed ended up winning their games.
How about that? How about Columbus maybe getting to host a quarterfinals? How about that?
There you go. And we've been trying to get Coach Chad Mathis on.
We're going to get him on.
We got to try to get him on, especially if they can.
We're going to have to go do a live show from Columbus, Richard. That's right. Yeah. We'll make them come on. Well, Rich, yeah. It's Richie Rich. It's Thrift. We're presented by Glenn Smith Chevrolet and GMC. Thank y'all so much for watching, and we will see y'all later on this week. Good night, everybody.
You've been listening to another episode of the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. You can catch an episode daily on WQEE 99.1 FM The Key, Monday through Friday from 2 to 3 p.m. This is a podcast that covers local sports to the Chattahoochee Valley. If you would like to catch a replay of the show, you can download an episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcasts. And I hope you have a great rest of your day.